Our topic this week, from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, primarily, holding up Moses' hands. Now, before we get into the actual text, I wanted to talk a little bit about the picture in general. So this particular picture, and actually the pictures that happen to be throughout this sermon, were drawn by Jim Padgett. But the reason I point this out is not just because of Jim's work there, but Jim did great work, and I think he did fabulous work, and well as other artists that usually display. Sometimes it's photographs of people acting out the scenes and various things like that. Now, I say that because I know that I could use AI and come up with these really cool looking life look type of stuff. And it's not because I don't know about it that we don't have it up on the screen. I choose not to have a computer telling me what the Bible looked like. Right? I'd rather have a person who's read the Bible interpret it and then come up with their picture and their outline. A lot of the AI stuff is just, obviously, they did not read the Bible text on that. But you can tweak it and you can use some human and make it. But I'm choosing. And also, if you've been writing emails or doing anything, it then tells you ahead of time what to write. You know, and I choose not to write what it tells me to write. I will, in my mind, choose to find an alternative word for what it chose to put down there because I do not want my brain to become soggy. I mean, it even now says, do you want me to write this for you? Right? You see that on some of the tops of the emails? We can summarize that email for you. No, I do not want you summarizing my email for me. I do not want you writing it for me. I don't mind some spell corrections. I mean, that's fine. But putting words in my mouth, I talked to my dental hygienist, and she said that is not healthy, right? To have words put in your mouth, right? So you don't want words put in your mouth by a computer, certainly by anybody else, but certainly not by a computer. And we don't want to feed the beast, right? So by relying on this stuff, all we're doing is training it more and more, and we're telling human beings, stop being creative. Stop creating music. Stop creating pictures. Stop using your God-given talent. Stop thinking. Stop communicating. Just lazily just hit the button that says, yes, okay, or I agree, or, and whatever, response. That means that the computer read your email before you got it, and it came up with an appropriate response for you. That is, I don't think, healthy at all, right? So I personally choose not to feed the beast because eventually the beast will eat us and will literally dissolve our brain and our initiative and our creativity and our ability to think and act and will be deciding things for us. So anyway, so that's why maybe you can think of a better picture, a more lifelike picture, but we're going to choose to go with pictures that humans created, okay? All right, so anyway, now into, and it kind of goes along with the text here, that it's humans that are holding up Moses' hands in this text, right? He could have relied on just a rock or whatever, but we see in the text here it was humans, and it certainly wasn't a computer, right? And so we don't want to rely on artificial anything, whether, artificial strawberries or artificial flavors. Right? We want the real deal and God's input and God using humans. So it does kind of go along with the theme. All right, so now into the sermon itself. So in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. So in context, we've just been reading how Israel came out of Egypt, God delivered us, parted the Red Sea, went through on dry ground, came into the wilderness, and then began to travel through the wilderness. And God provided the manna, and God provided water, first by making a bitter lake pure, and then guiding us to tell 12 streams of water, and then eventually bringing water out of the rock. And then the next thing, after God brings water out of the rock, this group comes out and attacks and fights with Israel in this area where water is coming out of the rock, out of Rephidim. And I believe one of the reasons that they were able to come and fight with Israel was because of our grumbling and complaining just prior to this. Is God really with us? We have no water. And Moses, did you bring us out here to die? And when we get grumbling and complaining, doubting God, attacking his appointed leaders, it opens the door for Satan to use circumstances, situations, and human beings to attack us. And I believe that's why they were able to attack. In Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, speaking about this occasion, Moses wrote, "Remember what Amalek did to you, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stranglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God." All right, so in Deuteronomy, gives us a little bit more insight, and we're going to start seeing that. It was kind of easy going through Genesis and the beginning of Exodus, where it was just in one chapter, in one part of the book. But now Moses kind of splits up and rewrites it several times. So we're going to be seeing Exodus and overlapping with Deuteronomy and Numbers and various different times as we try and go chronologically through the text and through their history. But it mentions here that they met us and attacked the rear ranks, right? So the outer skirts of the camp, maybe as they were traveling into the weak or the moving slower, the tired and the weary. And that's how Satan does. Satan likes to attack us when we're down. And again, Israel was in a down point, doubting God, attacking Moses. And that's when the enemy came in and attacked, and as typical bullies, attacking the weak, right? Not going to the forefront, attacking the leaders, attacked the tired and the weary, because he did not fear God. Now, he no doubt knew and heard what God had done to the Egyptians and the parting of the Red Sea and the amazing miracles that God had been doing, but he did not fear God, and thus he attacked. Satan was able to use him in attacking the tired and the weak and the stranglers at the rear. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men to go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." Now, this is the first mention of Joshua in the Bible. Later on, we'll see, he becomes more and more prominent. There's even a whole book titled Joshua. But this is where he comes onto the scene. And so we don't know anything about him prior to this. But Moses appoints him. Joshua is not a self-appointed leader. Joshua did not go and fight on his own. Moses called him. Moses said to him, Moses as the appointed leader, then appoints Joshua as commander over the army. And he tells him to choose some men to go out. So handpick. Not just everybody, not just anybody, but to go and handpick, chosen, appointed for the position. And Moses is going to stand on the mount with his rod of God in his hand. He's going to oversee. He's going to be there in person. They're going to be able to see him. He's going to be able to see them. And Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And so Joshua passed his first test. He goes and rounds up some men. He's faithful to the charge. He is brave and willing to go. And he's able to rally up some people to go with him and join with him. And he goes into battle bravely. Now at this point, Israel has no weapons, right? We've just come out of Egypt. We've been traveling along. We have nothing really to defend ourselves at all, just rocks, and there were plenty of rocks around to use. But other than that, we really had no weapons, no nothing to speak of at all. And yet being attacked by an army that does. And so he bravely goes out, obeys God's call, passes the first test. And when we are faithful in the little things, God is able to make us faithful in the more, right? And so Moses chooses Aaron and Hur to go with him on the mountain. This is our first mention of Hur, and we don't have a lot of mention about him in the Bible, other than his son was Charlton Heston. Right? of course, you're familiar with Ben-Hur, right? so that's where he came from. So anyway, so here's Hur back with Moses and Aaron, and they go to the top of the hill together. And when they're there and Moses has his hands up to God, praying to God, Israel is winning. But when his hands come down, Amalek is prevailing. Now, Moses, I believe, was praying whether his hands were up or his hands were down. But there was important symbolism there. And when he's crying out to the Lord and visibly able to be seen crying out to the Lord by the army, that God is able to work more powerfully. Because it sends the message that when we rely on God, when we cry out to God, that the Lord is our strength, not relying in our own strength, not relying in our own power, not relying in horses, not relying in chariots, but relying on the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty, that God is able to work. And when we're not, even though Moses, I believe, was, but even when it seems like we're not, our hands are down and we're just letting the army fight, we will lose. Right? We cannot fight in our own strength. We cannot win our battles in our own abilities, in our own skills. No matter how talented we are, no matter how many people we have, no matter how much weapon we have, if the Lord does not go before us, we are lost. If the Lord is not with us, we don't want to go forward. Right? The Lord, we have to be dependent on Him in all ways and at all times. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. I don't know if Moses knew that ahead of time or was thinking that ahead of time, or God just impressed him to bring two people with you, Aaron and Hur. And they stood faithful to their charge, and they held up his hands. And God was able to work, and the army was able to win. That's what God is looking for now. People who will hold up the hands. Hold up the hands of God's appointed leader. Hold up one another's hands. Encourage one another, strengthen one another, bless one another, minister to one another. Not to tear down one another. Hur could have said, no, Moses, you're doing it wrong. Joshua, no, you're doing it wrong. Or Aaron could have said, you know, that you're too old, you're too weak. Let me stand in here, although he's older than him. But let me do this. But no, they held up Moses' hands. Now, Moses wasn't perfect, right? We saw that last week. We saw last week where later on in the chronology, Moses will strike the mark, a rock, and twice, and call the people rebels. But God called Moses, and Aaron and Hur were called to their charge to support him and to help him and to hold up his hands. And by doing so, not attacking him, not leaving him alone, not letting him do all the work, by doing so, Israel was able to win the battle. And they continued to support him all the way till the going down of the sun. That's a long day. You know, we call here in America a work day, 8 hours with a break and a lunch break. And, you know, this from the going up to the sun to the going down of the sun, that's a good 12 to 16 hour day that they are fighting for the Lord. And holding up Moses' hand that whole time and strengthening him. And we need to hold each other up, not just for a time, not just for a season, but we need to endure till the end, to continue steadfastly in one another. And the scriptures support this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you, hold them in highest regard in love because of their work, and live at peace with each other. That's what God's calling is for us. Doesn't matter all the battles we win. Doesn't matter all the victories we do. Doesn't matter how much we give, and no matter how many spiritual gifts we have. We are just sounding brass if we don't have love for one another. Encourage one another. And build each other up, holding each other's hands, helping each other, especially acknowledging those who work hard among us. Diligently serving the Lord, diligently serving one another, working hard with all their might, with all their talents, with all their time, with all their skill, with all their might. Hold them up. It's so easy to attack those who are working hard. So easy to say, oh, if I was president, if I was prime minister, if I was the leader, this is what I would do. Oh, it's so easy from a couch, looking at a TV screen or a computer screen or a phone, reading some news tidbits here and there. This is how I would direct the war. And we don't have all the facts in front of us. We don't have all the scene in front of us. It is so easy to think we know better, to think we know more. But we need to acknowledge and build up those who are laboring hard in the work, whether in leadership or wherever, whatever facet God has us in. It says, acknowledge those who work hard among you. We all need to be working hard. God has blessed us all with talents and all with gifts. And we all need to be using those in the service of the Lord. And that's one of the ways we build each other up and strengthen each other. All have a part. Some to hold Moses' hands up, some to go up on the mountain with him, some to go down into the battle with Joshua, others to stay in the ranks and do other things, gather the water or prepare the food. God has different roles and different gifts for each of us to do, but we all need to be active in the service of the Lord. And our society, like with AI, for generations now, have been making us lazy with television to sit back and watch the game on TV, don't get active anymore, don't get into it, and exercising and playing and doing anything, depending on entertainment to feed our minds and our hearts and the palms of our hands, not even communicating or doing anything anymore, pushing buttons for things. We become a lazy society, physically and mentally and emotionally and socially. Even talking with AI and having AI friends instead of having real friends and virtual friends and taking the time and energy to make friends with one another, which takes love, which takes effort, which takes patience, which takes long suffering. And acknowledging those who care for you and who admonish you. What does admonish mean? What other word could we put in there? Could God put in there, translate as admonish you? Correct you. Tell you you did something wrong. Acknowledge those who work hard and who correct you. We're positioned to correct you. Take the correction with humility and understanding. As Nathan corrected David, as Paul corrected Peter, down through the ages, God used people to correct one another, to help one another, in love, and that's the key. Correcting one another in love, admonishing one another in love, encouraging one another in love, as God has appointed us, and as we have been appointed. And if we've been appointed, there is a time and a place for all things. But there's always a time and a place to love one another and to live at peace with each other as much as is possible within us. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Miraculous battle. Really the first battle. This is the first battle. And Amalek chose to be the first one to attack Israel after God delivered us out of Egypt. Out in the wilderness, all alone, instead of making an ally. And Amalek is a descendant of Esau. And instead of going out and meeting this brethren who's been oppressed and in slavery for all these years, and who has miraculously been delivered, instead of going and making peace and making an alliance, chose to attack. But God miraculously gave the victory Again, no one there in Israel trained in war except Moses. No one there trained in battle, no armor, no equipment, no weaponry. But God miraculously, as Moses was crying out to the Lord and supported by people around him, Aaron, Hur, but representing the people, representing the nation, supporting him, helping him. Moses supporting the army and praying and crying out to the Lord, and the people supporting that effort and those prayers. And then people down in the valley fighting and moving forward in God's strength in battle. And they won. Absolutely amazing. First war, first win. And now they have some weapons. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. This is from Exodus 17, verse 14. So he says, write this in the book. So Moses might have started already writing the book. Put this also in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. I thought that was interesting. God wanted to make sure that Joshua heard how God had used him in this battle to encourage him. God is encouraging us as well. God is an encourager. And God is holding us up. Our prayers are not alone. We have Yeshua standing at the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. Just as Moses was there interceding on the behalf of the people, he is there, pleading his blood, holding his hands up. Our prayers, we always says two or more are gathered together in prayer. He's heard anyone in agreement. He said, well, if we're in agreement with him, we have two right there. You're never alone in your prayers. Someone is there praying with you before the throne of grace. Someone is there before the Father, continually pleading his sacrifice in your behalf. And we hold him up. We strengthen his hands because there is much that he would want to do for us. But we have not because we ask not. But if we join him in prayer, he's there before the throne, but he also needs to. So he also needs us to join with him in prayer and hold him up as he is holding us up before the Heavenly Father and interceding in our behalf. We have an advocate. We have a defense. We have a Joshua there fighting for us. We have a Moses there upholding us and watching over us and praying for us and interceding for us. We are not alone. Thus, we are more than conquerors through him who strengthens us. We can do all things through him. And nothing is impossible. Even attacking and defending against the attacks of the Amalekites or anyone that the devil uses. God will make us more of a match, more than a match, as we bond together, as we hold together, as we mesh together in heart and in mind and in spirit and in love. Not in a uniform, not in conformity, but in unity. Different gifts, different talents, different opinions, but unity in the Lord. Harmony together in the Lord. Working together in the Lord. And so this is where the book of Exodus begins to be written, or mentioned anyway. God telling Moses, write it in a book. And Moses faithfully wrote it in a book. And again, writing and writing and writing, and wrote five books. And then read it out loud to the people. And made sure Joshua was there to hear it. And we're blessed to read it as well. And it's good to write what God has done in a book. Keep a journal. Keep a weekly or daily if you want, weekly at least. Journal of what God has done that week in your behalf. Answers to prayer that God has done. Blessings that you didn't even realize, weren't even expecting, didn't even know about. Write it down. So important to write down so that we remember what God has done. that we recount it, that we're able to tell others, that we're able to read it to others, that we're able to share it with others, that we're able to go back and read it ourselves at our low points and difficult times and be re-reminded of what God has done. The only thing we have to fear for the future is if we forget how God has led in our past. If we remember how he led in Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel, if we remember how he has led in our own past, we will be encouraged in the present and into the future. Write it down. Write it in a book. And recount it. Tell others. Tell others. At the end of each service, we encourage people to share what God has done in their life. What do they have to thank the Lord about? And in midweek Bible study, we encourage to write, to present prayer requests. And then the following week, to report on how God has answered. So they can be proclaimed in the hearing of us and in the hearing of others of what God has done. And so write it down so that you may utterly blot out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now, how do you write it down and yet blot out the remembrance at the same time? And doesn't that preclude the whole thing? And then undo the whole thing. And here we are, thousands of years later, reading this nation's or this army or whatever this group's name and recounting it. But eventually, one day, it will be blotted out once and for all and destroyed once and for all. And in Deuteronomy 25:19, and it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. So remember not to forget to blot his name out and forget it. And so Deuteronomy is written 40 years later, right? So Exodus is written as they're going along, and Moses' daily diary or whatever. But then at the end, in the 40 years, Moses recounts the whole thing. And that's where Deuteronomy comes in. It's written 40 years later. So here he's reminding and remembering and then saying, remember what they did? Make sure you take care of them and deal with them. And for that, see if I have it here. Let's see. Yes. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. How he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Same Amalek, still around from Moses' time to King Saul's time. That's hundreds of years. And they were still around and still causing troubles and problems. But God hasn't forgotten. And God reminds them, remember what they did when you came out of Egypt 400 years ago, before you were born. But I remember, and now that you have a king, and now you're established as a nation, go and deal with them and punish them for what they did. Attacking the weak, attacking the stragglers, attacking you as you just came out of Egypt as freed slaves, wandering through the wilderness with no food and no provision other than the manna provided by God. Instead of coming and helping you, they attacked you. And they haven't changed in all these years. God gave them 400 years of grace. And as we read, it said they refused to believe in God. They had all the evidence there. They had the evidence of the Exodus. They had the evidence of the parting of the Red Sea. They had the stories that how God took down Pharaoh and all of Egyptians' army. And how then they were defeated. And yet they never stopped, never gave up. They saw how God parted heard how God parted the Jordan River. How God gave his deliverance over the Jericho and other nations. And yet they still held on to their animosity and their hatred. No difference. No change. Character or heart. God knew their heart. God knew their character. And God knew at this point, if I give them another 1,000,000 years, they will never change. God's able to make that determination. God knows. And that's why God said, it's cruel, it sounds cruel, but God knew at this point, they've had every opportunity. They've seen it, again, through Esau, so they've known the history, had the opportunity to know the history, Jacob, Esau, Abraham, Isaac. They had the opportunity to, again, see what God did in our deliverance and time again through all these years. And yet they chose to stay in unbelief. They chose to stay in not only in unbelief, but in opposition and attacking. And so God tells Samuel to tell Saul, go and wipe them out. It's time. Their probation is closed. Go and wipe them out. And if Saul would have done faithfully, things would have been better. But unfortunately, he did not. He did not listen. He did not obey. They kept some of the sheep. They kept some of the livestock. They kept some of the people. They kept the king at that time, Agag. And Samuel the prophet had to slay Agag. But Agag's children lived on. And now we fast forward another several hundred years or more, and we come to the book of Esther. And the descendants of Amalek are still around in the form of Haman. Ooh, very good. Oh boy, that was terrific. That was good. Without cue or anything, that was really good. And that is why we boo, to blot out the remembrance of the name of Amalek and all his descendants out of heaven. To blot it out. And will one day be blotted out and will not be remembered anymore in all of eternity. And in the here and now, though, it's still important for us to remember how God has led in our past and worked. And to be obedient to him and to heed his call. And to obey what God has called us to do. So back to Exodus, Exodus 17, back to verse 15. Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." Right? Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, however that's supposed to be rightly pronounced. Nisi. For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Again, God prophesied, and we did have war from generation to generation. So God has blotted them out. The descendants are gone, praise God. Their evil heart and evil intent.
And still is.
An evil desire. Yes, others. Right? There's others who have taken up the mantle. Yes. So he built an altar there, gave sacrifices to the Lord, and thanked the Lord. It's important for us to remember to thank the Lord, to write down what God has done, and to praise him, to give sacrifices to him, to thank him. And the sacrifice is burnt offering because it's the sacrifice of the Messiah, the blood of the Lamb that gives the victory. Not just a thank offering, but a burnt offering. Because it's his sacrifice that God has done. And calling on the name of the Lord, he shall be praised. And as Moses' hands were lifted up, like a banner, like he was holding a banner, holding up God's name, do this in honor of God. Remember God. That's why he calls it the banner, right? Place. Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, banner. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my name, right? The Lord is our banner. He goeth before us. He is our sign. We are named after him. We're called by him. We take on his name. We are to take on his character. We are to take on his spirit as we confess our carnal nature. Because we're no different than Amalek at heart. We're no different than Esau at heart. We're all same as born as humans. That's why we need to be transformed and changed. None of us are any better than them at birth. None of us are any better than anyone else. And it's knowing that and remembering that gives us the ability to be merciful to others, gives us the ability to love others, gives us the ability to be at peace with others, gives us the ability to encourage others. When we realize, really, we're no different than anyone else except by the grace of the Lord, except by his banner over us, except by his covering over us. There is no good thing in me. It's only the Lord. He is the only good one. He is the only righteous one. Surrendering to him. And his banner over us is love. And so, God recorded this in his word for a reason. God recorded it in his word for us, as well as for Joshua, and for all in between. God wants us to learn from this. God wants us to grow from this. God wants to admonish us and encourage us to love one another, to encourage those who work hard, to hold up their hands, to be faithful in our calling and in our duty, to listen to our call, to stay within our ranks, to be obedient to what God has called us to do, and to be faithful to one another, be faithful to the Lord, loving him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, surrendered to him, and being covered in him, covered in his banner, wrapped in him. And so as we pray tonight, whatever part applies to you, maybe God, you saw your name in there somewhere. Maybe God has called you as a Joshua to move forward. Maybe someone has appointed you. Someone has asked you to do something. And by God's grace, the calling is from the Lord and move forward by his strength and his power. But if God hasn't used someone to call you and hasn't anointed you, don't rush out into battle without the Lord's permission, without being called. God's calling you to hold up others. God's calling you to help others and be a blessing that way. To strengthen those whom God has called to lead. To hold their hands up in their difficult time, in their weakness, in their struggles, in their problems. And may we surrender to the Lord and be faithful in that. And holding up others' hands. Being faithful to the Lord. God's revealing somewhere in your life where you're not at peace with someone or something. By God's grace, in some way, shape, or form, ask the Lord to show you how, in your strength, in your realm, from your part, how you can be at peace with all people in your circle of influence. God's calling you to love someone, to be loving, to encourage somebody. A phone call, an email, a text, a visit, a word here, a word there, encourage somebody. God's calling you to encourage. If God's bringing someone to your mind that needs encouragement, maybe you haven't seen them in years, haven't talked to them in years, maybe you just talked to them this morning but didn't say an encouraging word. God's impressing your mind there's somebody you need to encourage. And by God's grace, follow his command and do his bidding. God's impressing your mind and heart to remember to thank him, to stop and give offering to him, to praise him for his sacrifice in your behalf, to thank him and praise him for all that he's done for you down through the ages, to thank him and praise him for his faithfulness in your life. And in a moment as we pray, ask God to give you praise towards him and thanks towards him. God's impressing your mind and heart to put down in a journal, to write down how God has worked, how God has answered prayers, how God has done something in your life. And make the commitment now, and by God's grace, get a booklet tomorrow, or not tomorrow, tomorrow night after Sabbath, right? Or sometime, to get a book and start writing down what God has done in your life. It'll be a blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing to someone else down the line who will read it. Actually, Brenda's been sending me poems that her husband, Terry, wrote. Who's a member here. We had name on the board there. Years later, still a blessing. We're posting them on Shalom Adventure. Write these things down. Write how God has blessed. It'll be a blessing to somebody else, as it was a blessing to Joshua in the hearing of others. Write it down and testify of what God has done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, our King, our Savior, our God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your work in the past. Thank you for your work in the present. Thank you for your work as we move forward. Thank you for going before us, for being our banner, for being our insignia, leading the way. Thank you for defending us. Thank you for caring and watching over us. Thank you for holding our hands up. Thank you for giving us an advocate. Thank you, Yeshua, that you continually plead our cause by your shed blood in our behalf. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being before the throne of grace in our behalf. Thank you for mediating for us. Thank you for holding our hands up. And thank you for giving us others, giving us one another. Thank you for giving us a congregation here. Bind us together in love and in unity, harmony, holding each other up, encouraging one another, and being a blessing to all around us, to all the world. In Yeshua's holy name, amen.